practicing real hard.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you again. We'll have a little open phone time in the final segment of this morning's program. Are expecting to get a little snow later today. Roads could get slippery for a while, but overall should not be too bad of a situation.
Well, folks, keep an eye on things out there, all right? So, not as bad here as in some other places.
For sure.
We'll have more on that later on. And the holiday grocery list. All right, we got to cover that before the end of the show. There's a story attached
with no here. Gingerbread.
There's
I don't
no
understand.
Gingerbread, okay. But anyway. Now, friends, all right, this is weird. We're going to go from a really good news story, like we just heard with Tom Whitehead and his daughter Emily.
Now we'll yank you down.
We're going to go from a really good news story to a why are we still dealing with this story? But unfortunately, it's one that we have. It's not going to go away. All right. After what happened in Israel 2 months ago, this is going to continue.
Yeah.
And it is important, I think, to know some background information about terrorism and where this is coming from and why it's out there, how long it's been out there, where's it coming from. In other words, a lot of questions. And we thank our friends from Juniata College in Huntington who have given us some great guests that we're going to have on upcoming shows into 2024 and so on. And first off, we want to welcome Dr. Dave Shung from Juniata College, who is an expert on historic terrorism. And so first off, Dr. Shung, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
Let's get some background information. I mean, first about, tell us something about yourself, your experience, your background. And this is I'll call it an interesting topic of historic terrorism. Where exactly yes. did this topic come from? Give us some background, please.
Sure. Well, background on me, I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, went to school in Connecticut and Michigan. Go Blue! And
my wife and I
moved to Huntingdon in 1991 so I could teach at Juniata, and I've been here ever since. And I've had a lot of terrific students in my time here. One of our favorite and most notable graduates, a history major, graduated in the 2005 or 6. His name's Adam Schaefer, and he grew up in Shanksville, PA. His father was the chief of the volunteer fire department, and his father was on site at Flight 93, where the plane crashed into that field outside Shanksville. He was there in the first 15 minutes or so. Upon graduation, Adam worked at the National Park site, the National Memorial there, and has always invited me to come out. And so I've been out at the Flight 93 National Memorial since the mid-2000s and seen it evolve, and I thought this is a great field trip opportunity for my students, and so I had a course that evolved into what is now called Interpreting Terrorism. And so that's kind of a backdoor way of getting interested in terrorism, but it's because of our students here.
All right, we're going to let the Michigan man stuff go by the way. So we're going to let that go.
I guess.
Put a hurt on Penn State this past few years.
We're going to let that one go, but anyway. I tell you what, I'm actually embarrassed, all right? This is Scott. It's been, I'm doing the math, 22 years. I have never been to Shanksville. I've never been there. For folks like me who've never been there, what is there? I mean, you've been there, you've done field trips. What is there?
Okay, so there is it's a national memorial, and so it commemorates the passengers and crew of Flight 93 who, when they were, in the air, the airplane was heading to California on the morning of 9/11. Hijackers had taken it over and took over the cockpit and were directing the plane towards Washington. And the best guess is that it was headed either to the Capitol or to the White House. And the passengers and crew rose up and organized themselves and stormed the cockpit and took it over, and the hijackers forced the plane into the ground outside of Shanksville. So the National Memorial commemorates the incredible bravery and sacrifice of these passengers and crew. The impact site is kind of preserved, and there is a memorial plaza with the names of the passengers and crew there. And then there is a visitor center where visitors can learn more about the day, 9/11, about the terrorists, what happened on the day. And then there is a terrific, like, landscape interpretation of the passengers and crew. There are 40 separate groves of trees that line a big circular walk from the visitor center down to the memorial site. And then there's a bell of Tower of Voices, I think it's called, 93 feet high at the entrance of the memorial site. And each bell is tuned in harmony with the other bells, but they are separate tones. So the separate voices, the separate passengers and crew working together, and the sound goes out from the memorial out to the world, kind of communicating their message to the wider world. It's quite a place.
Wow. Okay, I've got to see this in 2024, Dogan. Yeah. I got to get down there.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm also embarrassed to say I have yet to visit. And I've had a couple of friends who have gone, and as you were describing it, just very moving, impossible to not be moved by the trip there.
All right,
let me tell the most moving element of the visitor center for me is they have a mock-up of the inside of the plane, and at that time there were phones that were set in the backs of the seats. And during the flight, once the plane was hijacked, passengers made phone calls to their loved ones. And at the visitor center, you can pick up one of these mock-ups of the phone and listen to the actual recording of the final cell phone call from a number of passengers to their loved ones. I always tear up every time I listen there.
Wow.
Just out of curiosity, because, and I still have a tough time wrapping my mind around how quickly time goes by, but your students now would have no memories, and many of them would not have been alive when 9/11 occurred. Can you give me an idea of what their emotions are, and does it bring home for them? Because, for me, like reading about the Kennedy assassination and, I mean, different events as a child, you can only be impacted so far by things you read. It's different, I've got to believe, for these young people when they experience a memorial like this, kind of an interactive memorial, in terms of I guess, the reality of what that day actually meant.
Yes, indeed. I think being at the site makes such an impression. Now, I've in class, they've done a lot of work in trying to understand the growth of Al-Qaeda and to understand how the U.S. Security system, CIA, FBI, how they functioned and didn't function well. But to see the site, I think it would be like for me to go to Normandy and the D-Day beaches and to see the cemeteries there with the rows and rows and rows of white grave markers. I think I understand D-Day and Normandy in a certain kind of scholarly way, but to be on the beaches would really send the message.
Yeah. All right, again, our guest is Dr. Dave Shung from Juniata College. And all right, Dr. Shung, this might seem like a really dumb question, but...
No such thing as a dumb question.
Thank you very much, and I'm good at those. What? First off, the history of terrorism. I mean, is this something that goes back to the beginning of man, whenever that was, or is this something that is relatively more recent? I mean, how long have people tried to do stuff like this?
Yeah, right. Well, there are a lot of definitions of terrorism, and the kind of modern use of the word comes in the late 1700s with the French Revolution. But if you think about terrorism as, acts of deliberate violence or, threatening to do serious threats to do that violence and, motivated by a political or a social or a cultural agenda, and the kinds of terrorism that I think we normally associate with the term, it's targeting a smaller, limited group of people, but really trying to send a message to a larger population or influence the thinking and actions of people in power. And the definition of terrorism that I think is the best also says that terrorists intentionally kill or injure innocent people. Okay? So if you're working with that definition, I think it goes back to the start of human society when people weren't getting their way with something and they thought, hey, how am I going to get what I want? I'm gonna twist some arms. I'm gonna lean on someone here. I'm going to send a message, and I think that's unfortunately buried pretty deeply in our brains. So I think it's gone back a long ways, and unfortunately, I think it's going to continue for the foreseeable future.
All right, we have about 2 minutes before we have to take a commercial break. Give us some. I'm just curious. Specific examples from history of terrorism. Right, we know about 9/11. We know what happened in Israel 2 months ago. Go. I mean, you mentioned French Revolution. Just give us a handful of specific examples from anywhere where terrorism was used.
Okay, well, I'll start with the U.S. We could start with the American Revolution and the Sons of Liberty, who tarred and feathered British officials. We can talk about John Brown and Harper's Ferry. John Brown trying to start a slave uprising by taking over the federal armory in Harper's Ferry, what's now West Virginia, just before the Civil War. We can talk about the lynching of thousands of people by hate groups, white supremacists. Timothy McVeigh in Oklahoma City. This is a sports talk station, and so the thing that comes to mind is the Munich Olympics of 1972 and the Black September terrorists who killed a number of Israeli athletes there at Munich. The anti-abortion terrorism, eco-terrorism, the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, 2015. You got to tell me when to stop because the examples just keep rolling.
Well, it's interesting. If we go about 30 seconds. Just about all of those were here in America that you just mentioned, which I just find that interesting. You pretty much mentioned a lot of domestic issues. And I think when we think of terrorists, we think of people from other countries, some other place, who maybe came here or did something bad. And I guess one of the reasons, Doctor, I wanted to have you on the show today is terrorism is not just a foreign thing. It's very much here.
Absolutely not.
It's very
absolutely
much here. We have to take a break. All right. Our guest again is Dr. Dave Shung from Juniata College. I mean, folks, we wish we didn't have to deal with this, but we, as the doctor just said, we do, and we will, unfortunately. Yeah. It's better for us to know what's going on and why and so on. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll have some more questions for Dr. Shung and get some more background details on this issue. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we'll come back with more of the program after this.
You guys all been good and practicing real hard.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead, exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Happy Valley weather.
Rain continues today, ending by this afternoon. Changing to snow, the low Monday night is 29 with up to an inch of snow possible. Cloudy with a chance of snow showers Tuesday morning, then a little sunshine by the afternoon with a high of 34. Sunshine Wednesday with a high near 40. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 25. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 44. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 28.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
In the heart of the conflict, Israel's military has reportedly discovered the largest tunnel in the Gaza enclave, wide enough for a large car to pass through and reinforced with concrete. In a recent development, the cabinet has approved the reopening of the Israeli crossing to Gaza for aid, a first since the war. This comes as part of last month's hostage release deal. Amidst the chaos, there's a glimmer of hope for aid and assistance.
Hi, this is Corey Comfort from Joel Comfort Toyota and State College. Are you looking for a dealership to call home? Joel Comfort Toyota is a locally owned family business that has been serving the community for over 45 years. Come see us and let us help you with your next vehicle experience. We're located at 120 East Clinton Avenue in State College, just behind the Waffle Shop on North Athens Street. Or visit us 24/7 at joelcomfort.com. And remember, good things happen in your community when you buy local.
The title and tag service that is customer-friendly and locally owned is at Joel Confer Quality Pre-Owned in Pleasant Gap. And as part of the Joel Confer family of dealerships, Monica Prisk is experienced and has been serving customers for 13 years. Cameron Confer is on the title and tag team and is there to help you with all of your title and tag needs. Stop at Joel Confer Quality Pre-Owned at 475 East College Avenue in Pleasant Gap and have Monica or Cameron answer any of your title and tag questions. Remember, good things happen in your community when you buy local.
Talk about great prices. Center Hall Farm Store has fantastic deals to help you save money all winter long on heating wood pellets.
Come here, Bear. Come on. Come on.
Oh, yeah. And for your ferocious little Pomapoo, shepherd, horses, and just about every other farm animal, even your birds. Center Hall Farm Store has created its own perfect, unique mixture of feed, along with commercial feed of your choice. Center Hall Farm Store, 110 West Allison Street, Center Hall. CenterHallFarmStore.com.
Santa's coming to town!
Santa! Oh my.
The Fox Sports 98.7 with the original Christmas Wish Contest. Santa Fox wants to grant your Christmas wish during the 12 days of Christmas.
What's this?
This is the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where's the snow?
Email us your Christmas wish at thefoxsports987@gmail.com. That's thefoxsports987@gmail.com.
Totally up to Santa Fox, but you may be one of the lucky Fox fans. Get your wish granted.
And you don't even have to sit on Santa's lap.
You sit on a throne of lies. Not like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
It's the original Christmas wish gift contest.
From the radio station that believes in keeping Jesus Christ in Christmas.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
Sports Radio 98.7 Fox Fun!
Turn it up! Turn it up! Turn it up!
Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys 98.7 The Fox!
All I want for Christmas is you.
listening to Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have some open phone time coming up in the final segment of this morning's program.
Not exactly a Christmassy topic we're going over here, but hey, sometimes that happens. Again, our guest is Dr. Dave Shung from Juniata College, as we just talk about the plague, I suppose, of terrorism and so on. Dr. Shung, now, when I was kind of thinking about this topic and so on, and this is Scott, I'm not a youngster, all right, I'm 60. I remember Northern Ireland. Now, Northern Ireland, I think, has been relatively quiet lately, but if you go back a number of years, it was not quiet at all. I mean, from your perspective in teaching this course that you do, I don't know if you cover Northern Ireland, but briefly, what happened there? And it seemed like there was just terrorism there for seemingly decades. What happened in that situation?
Yes, it was a situation where there was a Protestant, it was a religious conflict. There were Protestants and Catholics, Protestants in control, Catholics being denied a number of civil rights, being denied certain opportunities, and some Protestants, I don't want to paint with too broad a brush here, some Protestants organized and terrorized Catholics, shootings, other kinds of terror activities. The British Army came in, we're talking the 1960s, and used more violence, and that pushed many Catholics to support the IRA. I don't know if you remember them, the Irish Republican Army. And that just led to this spiral of increasing violence. Maybe you've heard of Bloody Sunday, which was in January 1972. Terrible violence. Innocent people killed, family members, children unconnected to the political debates here. In the 90s, though, in the 1990s, the IRA changed. They saw that violence wasn't working, that it was losing Catholic support. And so it shifted to politics. It formed a political party. It energized a political party. It still used terrorism, but it focused on economic damage. They'd blow up banks, for example, and de-emphasize the personal, individual, human violence. And they tried to pressure the British government, got a lot of media attention, and that started to lead to the opportunity of some talks starting. There were the right people at the right time coming in. Local people like John Hume, American representative Bill Clinton sent over Senator George Mitchell, and British government got involved, and they came to in the late 90s, a power-sharing agreement. Catholics got full and equal civil rights, and things have been pretty calm since then. So one of the messages that students get from this is that terrorist groups change over time. It's not like they act one way and get set in their way and just do that one thing the whole time, but the IRA changed and other pieces had to click into place so that you got the right people at the right time, and thankfully there's been relative peace up there.
All right, now, Doctor, your opinion, That situation in Ireland totally solved, or is there something still kind of bubbling under the surface? Because somehow, for some people, they just can't put hate away. They just keep on going. What do you think?
Yeah. Nothing is ever totally solved. I am no expert on Ireland, but I am sure that there is, as you say, unrest, dissatisfaction bubbling there, and they're probably making some calculations. Is there more to be gained by working in the system, working along the established channels, or is there more to be gained by doing some terrorism? And terrorists are often depicted as wackos, as unhinged people, but a lot of terrorists are also very smart, very calculating, very savvy, and that's one thing that makes them especially scary, I think.
All right, now I think the obvious follow-up question here, and maybe we just hit one, is are there any instances from history where the terrorists did something terrible, awful, a whole bunch of things, and they got exactly what they wanted? In other words, the terrorists won 100%. Are there any instances out there where that actually took place?
Now, one thing that comes to mind is the American Revolution, where the Sons of Liberty, where common people outraged by what they perceived as British Parliament's inappropriate use of power, extending taxes onto certain goods. That old phrase, no taxation without representation, they thought that they were being enslaved by these taxes, by not having representation. And so they terrorized British officials in the colonies, destroyed their houses, went into their wine cellars and smashed the bottles, threw chairs out through windows. They tarred and feathered British officials and British sympathizers with British authority. And a year and a half later, British Parliament did repeal those taxes and did not come after those Sons of Liberty, those terrorists. So I guess you could say, in the 1760s, they got what they wanted. They got the repeal of those taxes. Now, British Parliament didn't go away, and we certainly know in the 1770s it comes to a war of independence. But in the short run, there they got the repeal of those taxes.
Now, Doctor, it's interesting. When we look at American history, we see those people as patriots. We don't normally refer to them as terrorists. I mean, do you ever, I'm assuming you talk to your class about this. Does anybody kind of give you a face like, what are you talking about? They're not terrorists. They're patriots.
Right.
What's the reaction when you talk about that?
Right. Well, you know, there is a saying that you often see is that one person's terrorist is another person's freedom fighter. And we talk about this in class, and that really is focusing on your judgment of the terrorist's actions. Do you find the goal worthy of the actions taken? But what we want to start with is how do you define the action? How do you define something as terrorism, which is separate from the judgment? Like you could say, you can define a lie as, it's an intentional untruth, but the judgment. Is it bad to lie? You know, sometimes it's bad to lie, especially if you're under oath, and sometimes it's good to lie. I tell my kids, if you're in a dicey situation with, you know, the group you're hanging out with, you can certainly lie and tell them, oh, my dad told me I got to be home, so I got to go. That's a lie, but I think it's okay to lie there. So terrorism, what's the definition of it? And then you can make the judgment. Yeah, they were patriots. They were justified in their actions or not. But we try and separate the definition from the judgment.
I am presuming, but I'm not sure I'm right about this as I'm listening to you, that there are more counter-terrorism organizations today than we've ever had, more counter-terrorism operations, again, not just in the United States, but worldwide. Is that accurate, that there's more people trying to combat terrorism in an organized and cooperative fashion than ever before? Or is that, right, that not necessarily true?
Right. Well, I think you're right. I'm just going with my gut here, but I think in this, you know, modern world, this interconnected world, this interdependent world, you know, terrorism that occurs in Asia affects the U.S. Terrorism that in the U.S. affects the European Union. And so I think there is more efforts at countering terrorism, and there are more efforts to coordinate, share information. I hope they're sharing information and training each other, letting people know about new developments in technology. But I think you're right. I think there is a greater effort at countering it.
Again, our guest is Dr. Dave Shung from Juniata College. What you have? Go ahead.
Can you talk about the difficulty in that? I mean, a lot has been made on what folks are terming the Israeli failure to recognize the attack before it happened in October. But there are much as the effort may be there, I think it's a little more difficult than what we sometimes would like to believe in terms of, let's just check the internet and there's chatter there. Let's go take out the bad guys. That sounds wonderful. And, I think most of us are supportive of it. I just think there's a little more involved sometimes than what we're led to believe just with the... And especially, I mean, we're growing up in an age where we're expecting everything to be wrapped up in a half hour or hour the way it is in our TV dramas.
Right. Well, I think it's so hard to recognize, the important stuff as you're living through it. In history, there's a lot of talk about, during World War II, President Franklin Roosevelt knew about the impending attack on Pearl Harbor, but didn't do anything about it because he wanted the U.S. to get attacked so he could get the U.S. into World War II. But historians have convincingly shown that at the time, it's so hard to identify what is the relevant intelligence, what is noise, what is important, what is not important, and who is in a position to put all of those pieces together. And I think it's very difficult for organizations today to figure out what's important and also to get the information. I mean, it's a lot more than checking the internet and chat rooms. I think there's a danger there. I mean, there's the Patriot Act. After Congress wrote the Patriot Act, President Bush signed it, and it allows for a lot more government examination of our private lives. Checking our phones, following our phone usage, and illegal warrantless wiretapping. And so if you want the information to stop the terrorist attack, what's at risk with our civil liberties and our freedoms?
Yeah. Doctor, we really appreciate your time this morning. We could keep on going probably for an hour, but thank you for the background information. I'd be curious to take that course next semester. That'd be interesting. Doctor, thank you again. Again, folks, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come